Hello.
Welcome to Universal After Dark, a Universal podcast that's not the same as all the others. Good evening, good day, good day, and welcome to this November edition of Universal After Dark. Joining me tonight is Mr. D.
Hey, Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Dad, that's the song, yeah, that's the one.
I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Yep. Go on.
I was just going to say, last night we were driving home and we saw our first Christmas tree.
Yeah,
which is ridiculous. I feel like putting a brick through the window.
That's mental illness, that means. We've seen a house decked out. Just the dust he attacked, and you can't be that happy for 2 months.
Well, yeah, I know.
It's just not
possible.
You
know, I get that you want to get your money's worth. You're going to put all the decorations up. You want to get a bit of time out of them, but Christ's sake, you know, 2 months, that's a bit over the top.
Well, I mean, literally while we were in Scotland last week, 1st of November, breakfast, it all on the telly, it all clicked over to Christmas instantly.
Yeah.
And it's all because of the cost of living crisis.
Yeah.
They've got to spend more money advertising for longer to try and get more money out of us because we've got none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Whatever. What are you drinking?
I am drinking. I've got some Estrella Galicia.
Oh,
Spanish beer. So I'm gonna have some of that. What have you got?
Well, I've done enough drinking in the last week, so I've literally got a fever tree. I went down to Coey today to get some alcohol-free gin, but they didn't have any. And I've got gin next door, and I was very tempted to just have a gin and tonic.
Yeah.
But I'd have just done half the bottle in. So yeah. I've just got rhubarb and raspberry tonic water, and it's refreshingly light.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Cleansing my liver.
Very good. I think it needs a good cleansing, doesn't it? After, what was it, a week in Scotland?
A week in Scotland, yeah.
Yeah.
We, the first night was in the Strathclyde Hilton Doubletree, and we got there at 3, me and Whitey, and we got 3 pints inside us just to get us going. Then the Coffin Carron turned up with a brood, so you can't go in. We said, nah, I'm not going in, you can fuck off, Phil. So, but no, we had to go in with his kids as well because of the law, apparently. So we had an hour in the pool with the kids, and then we got back out and got on it. I reckon we probably had about 10 pints in total. I woke up the next day with me head split open.
Yeah.
I haven't been like that for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to recognise your age now, Craig. You know, you're not a spring chicken anymore. You're not 21 anymore.
I'm just a chicken.
Yeah, just a chicken. Not even free range.
Well, I was very free range. I was very odor natural. Let's just say that on that holiday. But on this episode, we're digressing left, right, and centre here.
As we do.
We're going to talk a bit of news headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just going to run through your 3-day trip.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you want to go first?
Yep. I mean, there's not a massive amount of news, but one of the things that I did notice was that Universal are trialing facial recognition at the turnstiles.
Yeah.
So they're trialing this in Islands of Adventure, I think. Yeah, it's a good idea, I think, if it speeds up the process. I think it seems to me like it's mainly going to help first thing in the morning, like early entry, you know, when there's a big line and you want to get in, or Halloween Horror Nights when you want to get in fast. The rest of the time, you know, if there's only a couple of people, I don't know that it makes that much of a difference.
I mean, all it is your face is replacing your fingerprint. So I think you still have to scan a ticket. Now, for me, your face should become the ticket, and then they've cracked it. So, like, at some point, you the first, maybe the first time you scan your ticket, it recognizes your face, it builds a profile of you, and then you shouldn't have to get your ticket out then the next day. But I bet you do.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what you're doing, isn't it? So you scan your ticket and you put your finger on it. So,
So I think it's just a,
and yeah.
because this has been, this was going back. They were doing this in, I want to say 2017, maybe 2019, at some of the express lines. They used to do a scan on your face, trialing it. I can remember that.
Well, I mean, the technology's there, isn't it? You use it coming back, your passport and whatever. You go through the photo thing now, and you don't have to go and talk to the person, or they don't talk much anyway. But you know, you just it's all photo recognition for your passport now. So the technology is exists. It's good, but I
You
suppose it's
know,
more hygienic. Thinking about COVID and stuff like that, you don't have to touch the same spot that 17,000 other people have touched.
and I mean, you'd unlock your iPhone, don't you, 1,000 times a day with your face. So it's no big deal, is it?
No,
So,
no.
and obviously they're getting ready for Epic, and it'll go to Universal eventually, but. Universal Studios, but yeah, I'm not, I haven't got a problem with it.
No, same. But just wonder if there's any other applications of it that they'll use anywhere else in the parks, you know? Does it become useful for other things? I can't really think of much, but it's almost like, you know, Disney are gone down the road of magic bands, you know. Does facial recognition become a thing as you go on rides for ride photographs or for some kind of personalization, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that would be boss, but because I mean, Disney do it, don't they, at Everest? You'll see your name going up on a poster at Small World when it works. You get a goodbye. You know, the kids were gutted that their names didn't take. They just seemed to be random names just coming up. So we weren't even sure it was actually working at Small World, but there's various places, isn't there,
Yeah,
where
ET.
it's well, ET, yeah.
Replace those little cards you used to get, you know, so you can give the phony name at the end, and ET says goodbye to whoever. Goodbye, Darth Vader.
Goodbye, vaginal discharge. Oh God, that got dark quick.
It did, didn't
That's gonna be a t-shirt, I think. That got dark quick. But you could have like ETs, and they project your head onto them, so you could be an ET. That'd be boss. I'd have that.
That'll be good. What have you got
So what I've
on the news
got
front?
is the holiday decor has begun arriving at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. The holiday season officially kicks off on the 17th of November at the resort. But there's bits and bobs going up now around Hogsmeade. So, they're getting ready, festive garlands, lights, that all that type of stuff. The station booking officer, Hogsmeade, that's getting decorated. Just before the Tory government shut it, but you never know.
Ooh, getting political here on this podcast.
Yeah, getting political. But no, the garlands are going up in Hogsmeade, which is a nice, I don't know if it goes right the way through Universal. Like Disney only really has Main Street, doesn't it? And then bits and bobs. I don't know if the whole of Universal gets decorated. I'm sure we can find out or whatever. But everything's kicking off on the 17th, so this episode will be out before then. It looks lovely,
It's weird that they don't have a Christmas party on Universal. I mean, you know, another news item, small news article was Mardi Gras. So they make a big deal of Mardi Gras, and they've just announced the dates for Feb 3rd to April 7th. But it's just strange that they don't really have a Christmas party.
Well, so much more. I think we talked about this on that Enhance the Parks we did, didn't we? But
Yeah.
they're leaving so much money on the table.
Mm-hmm.
So much money. Even a Christmas
It feels
version of
like
Horror
it.
Nights would be amazing.
I mean, it feels like it, you know. Because they've got some good properties. I'm sure if you sat down and thought about it, you know, we talked about some of them before. What would it look like? We come up with some decent ideas, I thought.
Yeah, and
So definitely,
yeah, go and listen on the Patreons, $2 a month.
yeah. There you go, bargain.
Grinchmas is coming early with a new Grinchmas sipper at Universal Studios Florida.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you can now get your sippy cup. It's $18. He's got a Christmas hat on. He's scowling like he does. The
Exhaust, yeah.
top of the hat comes off. It holds 20 ounces of liquid. I'm looking for the discounted price for when you go back to get a refill.
Yeah.
It doesn't actually say. Yeah, you can unscrew and add your own beverages for sipping. This sipper is also hand wash only, so I don't think they'll do refills. But you can go and fill it with your own stuff, which is a bit pants. But the size of it probably would struggle to fit under them Coke machines. That'd be really well thought out. But if you like the Grinch, $18, go and fill your boots.
So that's for that's for the day, and you get like a discounted refill. Yeah, we've never used any of those cups at Universal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose if you drink a lot of sodas or whatever, I suppose it's quite a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, for us, we took our own Animillion bottles, and we just used the Coke refill stations for water. It was ice cold water, not like the something like the Disney places. It was all pumping out warm water, unrefrigerated. Universal smashing it. We must have saved an absolute fortune, especially in August. It was bloody 40 degrees. I had a liter bottle, aluminium bottle, and I was draining it and just getting another one, you know, it was good. Have
Stay
you seen the
hydrated.
garage? Have you seen the garage sale?
The garage sale? No. No, not the latest
Universal
one.
Orlando garage sale dates announced.
What
Yeah.
dates they got? Because I think
Oh.
there was one, I think we just missed it by a couple of days. I don't know that we were really that bothered about it, but when we were there, I think we just missed one. And we're like, we got an email about it and like, well, what the hell is this, you know? But
Yeah, this year's garage sale will return from November the 12th to the 14th for the public. Annual pass holders will get early access to the sale starting in November the 11th, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Entrance to the garage sale will be located on the ground floor of Universal Orlando team member parking garage. The address for the garage is 1000 Universal Studios Plaza, Orlando, Florida, 32819. As a special bonus, pass holders who purchase something on the 11th will get two free UOAP buttons while supplies last. Proof of purchase and a valid annual or season pass are required. I don't know. So is this all like just selling off all the Halloween Horror Night stuff?
It could be, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised, yeah. Yeah, because we've still got our annual passes are just about to expire, I think. And that was what we got. We got an email saying, you know, you can get early access, but like I say, we missed it by a couple of days. We were at Disney at that point, and we weren't going to go to Universal just for that.
Yeah, I
But
mean, I'm looking at the pictures here, and it's lounge flies and t-shirts and Mardi Gras stuff, Halloween Horror Night stuff. So, I mean, there'll be nothing left after the annual pass holders have all and the vloggers have all been there.
I wouldn't think so. But yeah, you might be right. It might be like the now that Halloween Horror Nights is finished, it could be some of that stuff getting flogged off.
Have you got anything else?
The only other thing I had was, well, two small things. One was some aerial photographs taken by BioReconstruct, which showed the portal to the Universal Monsters Land. Don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, it looks very small.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say in that because it's like
Yeah, it's
obviously
an
taken from a
aerial shot.
distance. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does look good. I mean, it's obviously going to be heavily themed. It does look quite dark and, quite kind of sinister and themed. So I'm quite excited for it. I think it looks good.
It does. It looks brilliant, but again, listening to UUOP and a couple of other things, from what we're seeing or feeling or hearing, rumors of Epic is it's going to be like a hub, and then you go off into these lands, and you've got to come back out of the land. You can't go around to the next land, which is going to be quite suffocating. Especially in this place, which is going to be, you can't even quantify how popular it's going to be, can you? There's rumors of them selling tickets for each individual land and that type of stuff. There's no evidence of that I know of, but I've heard other podcasts talking about that type of thing. Just imagine that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be crazy popular, certainly for the first few years. I think it's going to be mad, but it'd be interesting to see whether some lands are more popular than others. I think Super Nintendo Land, I think that's already proven to be really popular, isn't it? Both in Japan and on the West Coast. I was reading about that. It's doing good business out there, so you got to believe that's going to be popular. But this Universal Monsters area, that's going to be a new first of a kind, so you think that would be popular as well.
With them, like they're almost protecting their legacy as well by investing money in a land. So the Universal Monsters are going nowhere. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to get phased out because they've always been there, but they weren't at the forefront for a long time, were they?
No.
It's only in the last like 5 or 6 years they've started to get popular again and being Halloween Horror Nights and that type of stuff. So it's exciting, like.
It is, yeah. Hopefully they'll keep trying to reboot the franchise. I mean, we've talked about the Mummy, the Tom Cruise Mummy one, how that didn't work, but I think there's still some, if they can come up with the right stories, I think there's still some great opportunities there to reboot.
Well, have I dreamt it, or are they doing another Brendan Fraser mummy? Is that a dream?
I think he said he would be up for it. I don't know. I don't know if there's one actually in the works.
Because that's not beyond the
So.
realms of possibility to ta just to reboot using, because it is where period films like, and they paid homage to the originals and. They worked. They were all a bit cheesy towards the end, but they were still brilliant.
Yeah, I just think you've got to be careful. I think the last time they got a bit greedy, really, and that Mummy movie was obviously going to be the start of a franchise one. That you've got Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, and rather than them focusing on let's make a really good reboot of the Mummy, it was let's make a franchise. And I don't think it works quite like that. If it's a good movie, then people will want to see more of it, and then you turn it into a franchise. Whereas now they just seem to be trying to produce franchises right from the get-go,
Yeah, they're
which
all
is a bit arse
terrified, aren't they?
butterface.
They're all trying to be a Marvel, and Marvel's doing its utmost to make it so confusing now that no one can. Kerry's tapped out now. Coffin Karen's tapped out because they're trying to watch Loki, and they're just like,
Yeah, what
"What?"
the hell's going on? I know. I'm watching Loki right now, and I'm sure it'll all be explained in the fullness of time, but no pun intended. But it is a bit all over the place, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think we're two episodes down, but but that's for the other podcast. But yeah,
Yeah, go.
Hermione's voice has been updated to sound more like Emma Watson on the Hogwarts Express.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yeah, nearly 10 years after the attraction first opened, Universal Orlando Resort has updated the voice of Hermione on the Hogwarts Express.
Yeah.
I mean, we've started the Harry Potter books again when we're doing long distance journeys. Took us years to get through all the books, and then we
Yeah.
were struggling to find something new to listen to for Scotland this year. So we just started
Right.
Harry Potter again.
Yeah.
So we're halfway through the second book now already. They should have just got Stephen Fry to do all the voices. That would have worked because he does them all in there. He does them all on the audio books. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah. So what were you listening to them though? You weren't listening to the Stephen Fry ones?
Yeah, we were,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you mean on the train?
On the train, yeah. Hermione
Yeah.
sounded like a docker, didn't she?
Yeah.
So I think it says here, but as of Thursday the 2nd of November, Universal Orlando Resort has updated the voice either with a new impersonator by pulling audio clips of Watson, or, and I think this is probably the likely one, AI, which goes against that's what they've all been on strike about, isn't it?
Yeah, is yeah.
And it now sounds more like the actress. Hear the updated Hermione voice in a TikTok that is on Universal Park News Today, which is an offshoot of WDW News Today. So it's out there, it's in the wild. It'll be interesting to see any of our listeners are going out there, see if they can notice a difference. It was never that bad to me. Because you're just on the ride, you're on holiday, aren't you? You're sitting there in Crocs. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, I'm trying to think of what it was like. I mean, I don't remember it. I don't remember thinking, oh, that doesn't sound like Emma Watson, because there's a lot going on at the time as well. There's a lot of like background noise. You got the train moving and all of that. But yeah, okay,
Sounds, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Well, I think that, I mean, unless you've got anything else.
Not much. I mean, Universal have put up their prices, so
Yay.
they've put up the ticket prices again, so they're pretty much in line with a one day ticket from Disney, I think. But then on the other hand, there was a report where the parks have done really well this year, 2.4 billion, 17% up year on year. Universal Orlando maybe not quite as strong as they had hoped or as it was last year, but still decent. But Universal Hollywood done well, and again, could be associated with the new attractions that they've put in there. You've got to believe that people are holding off for 2025 for Epic Universe. I mean, I think that definitely seems to be the case. So yeah, the parks are doing quite well, and hopefully, they'll keep investing in them. And I think I'll be talking about that in a minute
Well,
because I think
yeah,
they need some areas.
definitely. Well, with, I mean, they obviously haven't met the ceiling yet, have they? And I don't think they ever will. People will still pay. You'll just save for longer. You know, people on other podcasts used to say Disney were pricing people out, and to an extent they were, but they never are, aren't they? If you're a Disney fan, you'll still find the money to go.
I mean, you find the funny thing is, you'll find other ways to pay for it. You might go less often, or you in the past you might have stayed in a moderate resort, but you'll stay in a value resort, or you might have stayed in a value resort, but you'll stay in a villa now, or a hotel on iDrive. But you can still save money. There are still ways to do Disney on a budget. That doesn't mean it's cheap. It's not, even on a budget, it's not a cheap holiday, but you can almost kind of get it back to something affordable, if you're willing to make, a few compromises. But there's always going to be a demand, I think. The more they introduce these high ticket attractions like Guardians or Velocicoaster or hybrids, you know, the more they're gonna keep that fueled, really.
Yeah, and the price is going to go up pretty steeply at Universal soon. Once
Yeah.
Epic comes into play,
Yeah.
game changer. But
Yeah, I think so.
right,
Right.
go ahead
Okay.
then.
All right. So, we've talked about some of my trip. We talked about the 12 nights in Disney, that we kicked off with, and then we moved to Universal at the end of the trip. And we did that deliberately because we wanted to do Halloween Horror Nights at the end when we were a bit fresher. And I've talked about my Halloween Horror Nights experience on our other podcast that covers Halloween Horror Nights, so I wasn't going to go through that in detail. But we moved. We just Ubered from, because we didn't have a car for most of it. We just hired a car for a couple of days to do some things outside of the parks. So we just Ubered from the Poly to Cabana Bay for the last 3 nights of our holiday. And kind of unfortunately, just the way it landed, really, that was a Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights. So it meant that we were going to be doing Halloween Horror Nights on the busier nights, but that was just how it was. But we went with myself and Kerry, my wife. We went with youngest daughter Heather and boyfriend Nick, and he'd never been to the States before, never been to a theme park before, really. And we surprised them with a room upgrade, so we got Volcano Bay View rooms.
All right.
But we didn't tell them that. We told them it was just like a standard pool view room. And then we get there, and the room was amazing. I mean, that Volcano Bay View room is just stunning. We were in the tower that was, if you're looking at Volcano Bay from the room, we were on the tower that was on the left. Can't remember
Yeah.
what that one's called, but as well as seeing Volcano Bay right in front of you, and the room has got, for anybody who hasn't seen it, you know, Google some images, but the whole wall is window. So, you know, from the ceiling to the floor, all the way across, it is just window. And Volcano Bay is right there in front of
Yeah.
you. And I'd asked for a high floor, so I'd put in a request for a high floor. So we were on was it the ninth floor? I think it's 11 floors high. So we were near the top, but the view was just stunning. And then you can see across the I-4, and you can see there's that area where they've got like the big slingshot and the wheel. It's like the London Eye, but obviously it's not London because it's Orlando. And that big new Disney store, you can see the LED screen or billboard on that. So yeah, it was just amazing. And we actually booked it on hotels.com. I booked it originally on the Universal website. That was the cheapest at the time, but then I kept looking, and I got an email from hotels.com, because we try and use hotels.com whenever we can, because you build up points. It's like getting a free coffee. So
Yeah.
you get a stamp for every night, and once you get 10 nights, you get a free night. So I got these emails about, you know, hotels in Universal or in the Florida, Orlando, and Kerry that said, why don't you see if they've got Cabana Bay? And I said, nah, they won't have Cabana Bay. But sure enough, they did. And it was actually cheaper. And we got a Volcano Bay view room for the same price as a standard pool view room.
No
And
way.
we then got with two rooms for 3 nights. So we got six points, or six stamps, if you like, towards another free night. So it is worth checking hotels.com. And, you know, if you use them, you might get some free nights through it. So that was good. We had tickets with annual passes, so we had three park passes. The first day we did Universal Studios, but that was a Friday, and so we got booted out early because it was Halloween Horror Nights. And we went to City Walk then, and we just had a meal at Antojitos. So we'd booked a table at Antojitos previously, and Antojitos was as good as ever.
Yeah.
Really like it in there. We had a cracking table. It was right in front of the stage, and the band were playing, or the group were on. And for anybody who hasn't been in there, it's a Mexican, I think there were five of them, two women singers, and I think the three or four musicians, and they were really good. The only thing I would say is they are, when they are on, they're pretty loud.
Yeah.
And if you're sitting right in front of them, it's great, but it's hard to talk. But we really enjoyed it. I think next time we'd maybe try and sit a little bit further back. But the food was great, and it's definitely one of our favorite places in City Walk. So we enjoyed that, but we went back early, and we got up the next morning for early morning Islands of Adventure. So we took the walkway from Cabana Bay, and that's almost as quick as the bus, really, because it brings you near Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville, whereas if you take the bus, you end up at the other end where the car parks are, and you've got to walk right through a city walk. So it's about the same as taking the bus, really. And we were in the queue waiting for the park to open. And one thing I will say, and we learned this last time, keep checking the app when you're waiting in line for the park to open, because the number of times that Hagrid's is down on opening is unbelievable. And they don't tell you that at the gate, but it will tell you on the app. It will say Hagrid's is delayed. And so, sure enough, on that morning, Hagrid's was delayed. And they do tell you when you get nearer to Hagrid's, and they didn't even allow you to queue up. So it was obviously going to be down for a while. So everybody then heads for Velociraptor. And we still managed to get on Velociraptor pretty quick, or Velocicoaster. We probably only waited about 25 minutes, but that was like straight in the park, straight to Velocicoaster. But one thing I'll say is I really don't understand what's going on with Hagrid's. It's a cracking ride, but the reliability on it is still awful. And
yeah,
as somebody who that was kind of a big part of my business, really, was reliability engineering, I don't understand why they're still having these problems. It is a complicated ride, but it's not that complicated. And one thing we noticed was when we were at Disney, Rise of the Resistance, we'd been there in 2022 and 2019, and the reliability on Rise of the Resistance was awful, but this last time we went, it was much better. So Disney have put the work in, they've spent the money, and they've improved it. I didn't see that with Hagrid's. It was still down a lot, and for a ride that's been open for, what, 3, 4, 5 years, I'm not quite sure what it is, it should be better than it is. It isn't that complicated. There's only a couple of bits that make it a more complicated roller coaster.
Do you think Disney have got better at employing B mode, basically?
Well, I mean, the only thing that I'm aware of that wasn't working is those cannons, right? But everything else seemed to be working when we were there, and the ride was definitely up more than it had been previously, but Hagrid's was down all the time when we were there. And we've watched a lot of logs from people around the same time and the same thing. I mean, and it's down first thing in the morning. And the problem with that is it really kills your morning. You've got up early, your bus has got to get there, you know, 20 minutes before early entry or half an hour before early entry, and early entry is 8:30. So you're there at like 10 past 8, 5 past 8, something like that. And the attraction that everybody's trying to get to is down.
Yeah.
It's just a shocker, really. And like I say, there's no reason, mechanically, electrically, software-wise, if they were willing to spend the money, if they brought in a proper team of reliability experts, you could fix that. I'm 100% convinced about that. So I don't know what the hell's going on with that.
Well, it's a little sections, isn't it, of engineering, and then in between the engineering sections, it's just roller coaster.
Yeah. It's a roller coaster,
So it must just be either one of the animatronics isn't working, or the surprise on the ride maybe isn't working.
Yeah, or it'll be the drop section or something like that, you know, where the track drops.
Yeah.
You know, the sensor's there to make sure it drops into the right place and it goes back up to where it should be and all that. It'll be something like that, but, you know,
everything's hot, everything's wet, everything's humid.
Yeah. But I mean, they know that, you know, and they just got to spend the money on it. I'm convinced that if they spent the money on it, they could make it a lot more reliable. And the other thing is then, you know, there's no virtual queue. I don't know why they don't go back to a virtual queue for unreliable rides like that. I mean, you know, at least if you get a virtual queue, you'll get on it eventually when it starts back up again. Okay, you may know if you join the virtual queue late in the day, right? There'll come a point where if they're having a bad day, somebody isn't going to get on it. But this idea of, you know, you got to queue in those tunnels. I mean, the last time we were there, we saw somebody having a panic attack in those tunnels because they are so claustrophobic and they were rammed full of people and the ride broke down and everybody is just stuck in there. And that's not good. And they don't give you any kind of free fast pass to come back again. If you wait there, if you've waited an hour and a half and you get to the near the front and it goes down, you've either got to wait or it's tough shit, you
Get
know?
off, yeah.
So I really don't know why they don't reintroduce the virtual queue system for that ride. Anyway, there we go. That's my rant. That's one of my rants anyway. You know, we got on VelociCoaster. That's fantastic. We enjoyed the parks. We didn't have a huge amount of time really because we just, you know, we had like 3 nights there, but it was the first day we were moving resorts, so we had part of a day. Then it was Halloween Horror Nights that night. We had the next day, which we hit pretty hard. We managed to get on quite a lot of stuff. We didn't get on Minions though, and I'm kicking myself about that because the queues weren't that long. It was like 20, 25 minutes, but we'd kind of left it to the last day, and on the last day we still hadn't ridden Hagrid's, but the queue for Hagrid's was only about 45 minutes. So it was either we go and ride Minions or we go and try our luck on Hagrid's, and we decided we'd rather do Hagrid's. So we didn't get to do Minions, which is a real shame. But we did enjoy the parks. One thing on the positive side I will say is, you know, I think Universal are putting more effort in than Disney in some of the live entertainment. And I
Yeah.
think that's great. You know, we saw a lot of characters, a lot of meet and greets. You saw, you know, the builder guys come in with a call, but the guys that they're a bit like the Jaminators in Disney, but it's builders in the studios. Then you've got like the salsa dancers, that's quite fun as well. We saw some of the Harry Potter stuff, the little shows there, little character meet and greets there. So it was good to see that. I think, you know, I think that does plus up the experience, and I'd definitely like to see Disney do more of that again. They used to do a hell of a lot more than they do. Right, so there was nothing apart from Minions. That was the only thing that was new for us. We did have a day at Volcano Bay, or a morning at Volcano Bay. It was pissing it down with rain that morning though, but we did eventually get in there and we had a couple of hours in Volcano Bay. That was pretty good. We did get up to the Dead Coconut Club on the Saturday night. That was great. I mean, I still don't understand why that place isn't rammed. Every time we've gone there, it's like quarter full. And it's, you know, it's a horror themed thing. It's kind of free to get in. Okay, buy your drinks when you get in, but it's such a fun place to hang out. So definitely Dead Coconut Club, you know, for Halloween Horror Nights, that's a must. We did the tribute store, but we did that during regular hours, and that was good because when we tried to do it last year during Halloween Horror Nights, we couldn't get near it. The only other table service that we had was we went to Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville. Have you eaten there, Craig?
Yeah, I mean, this is going back to 2009, maybe 2012, where they asked Carla for ID, Coffin Karen, and we all laughed. And he said, "No, I want your ID." And he wouldn't save her, and there was a bad feeling, a bad atmosphere. He got the manager, and he was like, "Yeah, we want your ID." And it was, you know, we were new to America, so to speak. And we've never been back. I think I've had a pint in there one Halloween odd night. That's about it.
We thought it was pretty good. We had a good time in there. We just decided on the spur of the moment we were going to try and find somewhere. We tried to get in Big Fire, and that was kind of weird because we went up to the podium and said, hey, have you got any tables? And he said, no, our servers are down, the computer servers are down, and we can't take anybody. And we said, well, surely if the servers are down, you can still let people in. No, it means we've got to manually do the tickets, he said. And
Wow.
Heather, who's worked in the Rose and Crown, she said they're just being lazy there. But they literally weren't letting, if you didn't have a booking,
Yeah.
you weren't getting in. And so there were tables gone. We could see tables in there, but they just weren't letting anybody in because they were going to have to manually do whatever
Manually take
they got to do.
orders.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get it.
Well, everything's de-skilled now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Taxi drivers don't taxi drive anymore. They go sat navs.
Yeah.
All the orders when we were there, they're not getting taken down on pen and paper anymore.
No,
You've
it's
all
not
got an
like that, so.
iPad, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's why we ended up in Jimmy Buffett's. We walked up there. We said, hey, can you got any tables? She went, yeah, about 10 minute wait, 15 minute wait. And we said, yeah, fine. So we ended up in there. It was pretty good. They had live music as well. That was quite fun. The food was good that we had. It's a busy place. I don't know that I'd rush back, but we enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good time in the parks in Halloween Horror Nights. That was great. I talked about that before. Definitely a good move to do it at the end of the holiday.
What did the son-in-law to be? What did he call it?
Oh yeah, Scary House World.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, he enjoyed Halloween Horror Nights. He obviously this is his first experience, and we had a lot more time at Disney than we did at Universal. He preferred Disney to Universal, and his main reason for it was he felt like in Disney it was more kind of themed and connected, and it was like one experience almost, whereas he felt Universal was a bit more chaotic, and it kind of is, but that's kind of to some extent, what some people like about it. It's probably a little bit more, I don't know, party atmosphere or whatever. So he enjoyed Universal, but he preferred Disney.
Yeah, and like they sort of plop the rides down in Universal where they can fit them in some,
Yeah.
and I know they probably can at Disney, but they've got a lot more space at Disney as well.
Yeah. And I think that's what he felt. He felt it was more like disconnected, it was just like a collection of stuff. Whereas Disney was more kind of themed, and it was the whole experience, everything was an experience. Even like the resorts and Disney Springs and that sort of thing. So that was his view, but he was only there for 3 nights, and I don't disagree with him. But he still enjoyed it, still had a good time. We enjoyed Cabana Bay again. That's our third time Cabana Bay. It's a good resort, really like it. We ate in the Bayliner Diner a couple of times.
Is it
Food's good in
starting?
there.
Is it starting to look tired yet, or like it needs a refurb? Has it had a refurb?
It's hard to say. I didn't think it looked tired. I mean, there was one new thing we'd noticed, and apparently it opened just after we left it last year, so it's only been open less than a year. And at the bottom of the Bayliner Diner, so you've got where the food court area is, and then you've got the big seating area. At the bottom of that seating area, they've put in like an ice cream parlor, malt shop,
All right.
which is quite good, quite cool. So we had an ice cream there one night. That was good. But yeah, I thought the resort looked good. I think they've done a reasonable job of maintaining it.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was looking tired. I do think next time we'll try somewhere else, just to try somewhere else, so I think next time we'll maybe try Sapphire Falls, because I like the sort of vibe of Sapphire Falls, but then also like the fact that you've got that water taxi. straight to the parks, and even the walk is easy. You know, you don't have that road you've got to cross from Cabana Bay, which is a bit of a pain in the ass. One thing we discovered is that there is actually a walkway from Sapphire Falls. If you come out of Sapphire Falls and turn left towards Volcano Bay, there's a walkway there that says it takes you to Cabana Bay and Volcano Bay. And when you go down that road, there's an underpass. But the crazy thing about it is, if Volcano Bay is shut, they shut the underpass. So at night, when you're coming back from the parks, you can't use that underpass to get to Cabana Bay, which is nuts. We did it during the day, and we thought, oh, when we came back at night, we thought, oh, we'll use the underpass, and it was locked. So we ended up having to go all the way back up to Sapphire Falls, and then we did cross the road there, which is a bit dodgy, really. It's a big wide road and it can be pretty fast, you know.
Did you get any merch like from Halloween Horror Nights or from Universal in general?
Yeah, we did. We bought, so normally when we go, we buy a Christmas decoration. So we bought this year's one from Universal instead of Disney. I think that's the first. So we bought a Harry Potter Christmas decoration. And then we all bought, well, most of us bought some kind of Halloween Horror Night merch. We all bought lanyards for our tickets, Halloween Horror Nights lanyards. And a couple of us bought t-shirts. So I bought the Stranger Things t-shirt. And can't remember. Oh, Heather bought, there was one that had all the scare zones on it. She bought that one, I think. So yeah, we bought some merch, a little bit anyway.
I mean, when we were there in August, they had like Halloween Horror Night related merch, but they didn't have like they had the awful Stranger Things t-shirt with Vecna in ten like big giant Vecna on the front, and then they had like the Monsters merch, but they didn't have anything else like specific, and again, I think they're just missing free money.
No, they had a lot of merch when we were there. I mean, there
Yeah.
was lots of t-shirts, different kind of t-shirts, you know, mugs, lanyards, all sorts of stuff. The only thing that we were surprised at was last year, Heather got a t-shirt which was all the Halloween Horror Nights food, like the twisted tater tots and pizza fries and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, what was this year's? There wasn't like a food shirt, which sounds a bit crazy, but it was a cool shirt. And you know, they make a big deal every year of the new food that they're bringing. So this year there was quite a few new items that they had. We just thought, well, why would they miss that opportunity? They've got everything else. They had like a Dead Coconut Club t-shirt and Scare Zone t-shirt and, you know, pretty much every kind of t-shirt you could think of, but they didn't have that, which seemed a bit weird.
I mean, I ended up buying a Hard Rock t-shirt that was Halloween themed, but not Halloween Horror Night themed. You know, and it's a cracking t-shirt. I love it, but it just wasn't Halloween Horror Night.
The other thing they've got, which I think Sinead talked about, I think she bought at least one of these, is they've got a whole range of classic monsters t-shirts, and, well, not just t-shirts.
They did have them when I was there, and none of them jumped out at me.
I don't know if it's a new thing. It looked like it was quite new. They were pushing them quite hard in a couple of the shops, but some of them I thought looked really good. I quite liked them. And there was quite a lot of them. There was like two different ranges. One was kind of like classic monster posters almost, and they were really good. And then there was another one that were kind of like jokey. So you had like Frankenstein wearing 3D glasses and different sort of jokey t-shirts, but some of them are quite good. So I thought that was quite interesting that they're actually merching the classic monsters separate from Halloween Horror Nights. Nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. I mean, 3 nights just wasn't enough, really. We did it was all we could manage, but it just wasn't enough time to do everything. But we just took the attitude that, hey, we'll get done what we can get done, and we'll just enjoy it. We're not going to try and kill ourselves and get on everything. There's a couple of things though we noticed. I mean, like I say, the live entertainment, that was definitely a plus versus Disney. The prices versus Disney, not a lot different really, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't think things like, you know, cocktails and beers and stuff like that, or food,
Well,
you
it's
know.
$12 a pint, you know, it's
Yeah. Yeah.
that, you know, that's in this money now, in UK money, that's basically a tenner a pint.
Yeah.
Bit
Yeah.
cheeky.
But I mean, it's, you know, people say, oh, Disney, you know, it's really expensive, but so is Universal, you know. It's
Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
pretty much neck and neck, really. I mean, you'll get the odd thing that's a dollar or two here or there, but it's more or less the same prices. So that was kind of interesting. One of the other things we noticed was, like, if you went back a number of years ago, right, the cast members at Disney were, but they were a big part of the experience, you know.
Yeah.
They were a competitive advantage for Disney, you know. They were so professional, well trained, enthusiastic, and versus Universal team members, say maybe, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago when we started going to the parks, there was a big difference. I mean, I would say that your typical Universal team member 15 years ago was just somebody working a ride, you know, like you
Yep.
would find in Six Flags or Busch Gardens or Alton Towers or somewhere like that. But since Comcast and Harry Potter and all that, we've noticed, you know, the skill level and the training level of the team members at Universal has improved. But one thing we felt was it's kind of flattened out now. They don't seem to be continuing to improve. So and I'm not having a go at Universal team members, because we met some really good ones, but we also met some not so good ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, one guy in particular who was a security guy on the checkpoint, I mean, he was out and out rude and aggressive, you know. I mean, he was not happy, not having a good day. I don't know what his problem was, but he was just to the point where, you know, my wife, it takes a lot to get her going, but she was ready to have a go, you know, and go and find a manager. And I said, look, just leave it, let it go, you know. And we didn't see that at Disney. But then we went to a restaurant, you know, Bread Box, you know, that Bread
Yeah,
Box restaurant.
I love it. Yeah.
We went in there, it was really good. We went in there twice, and we got served by a young woman who, again, just didn't look like she wanted to be there. She wasn't rude, but it was like minimum human interaction, no smiles. What do you want? Here it is. Off you go. But then when the food came, this young guy came up from the kitchen and served us the food, and he asked us if everything was okay, and then he went away and got us some stuff, and he couldn't have been nicer. You know, he was 100%. And that's two people in the same restaurant, you know. One was really good, one wasn't. And that's what we found in Universal is, you know, Disney, as I said in my Disney trip report, I think they're getting all the new cast members and that came in through COVID and all of that. They're getting them up to speed again. They're getting them back up to the standard that it used to be, I felt. But Universal, I think, still got a bit of work to do to try and make it a consistently good experience. It is patchy. You get some really good ones. You know, I would say that, but you also get some other people that, you know, they just don't want to be there.
Yeah, I mean, we found that as well. But for me, it was like in Star Wars, they were in a galaxy far, far away. It was unbelievable. And, you know, just the interaction was just phenomenal. But then in Harry Potter, and this has happened a couple of times now, and again, she was gorgeous. She was a lovely girl. I took photos. I took video of her serving me the hot butter beers. But after I'd finished the video, you know, we're having hot butter beer in August because they sold it. Because
Good
it had to
idea.
be, you know, it had to be tasted.
Yeah.
And then she starts asking me if I'm going to Halloween Horror Nights, and I'm like, "You're a wizard."
Yeah.
And she was, you know, again, that just went over her head.
Yeah.
Just little things like that where that never used to be, you know, and but
Yeah.
then you've got your costume characters who are wizards and who are witches and stuff like that. But this was just a girl behind the bar, but she's in the wizard world of Harry Potter. She should be a wizard or
she
a
should
witch.
Be. Yeah.
But did you see our Eve smashed a Universal sippy cup? So she bought one of the pink, nondescript Universal Studios refillable cup from the shop, and she took it to York University where she's studying, and she basically dropped it and smashed it. And I just used the Universal After Dark Twitter account and just tweeted Universal and said, is there anything you can do for us? And they said, oh yeah, ring this number. And I was, guest services. And I was like, well, we're in the UK. And they were like, okay, we'll just email this email address. They literally replied. So we did. And they wanted proof of purchase, which we didn't have, but we had credit card transactions. And you could see like dates where we'd spent hundreds of dollars in Universal shops. So it was like, so there's your evidence that we bought something, and here's the evidence of the cup smashed.
Yeah.
Well, a cast member in guest relations, Bridget, went and found the cup, parcelled it up free of charge, and sent us a replacement to the UK.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's fantastic.
You know, and people have said, oh, well, Disney will do that as well. But I'm not so sure Disney would anymore.
Well, they did for us last year, because we got home last year and we were unpacking and there was stuff missing. There was loads of stuff missing. And I said to Kerry, you know, sometimes you get like a drawer under the bed.
Yeah.
There was a drawer under the bed that was full of stuff that when we were packing up, we'd missed it completely. So we'd left a drawer full of stuff in the room at the Polynesian last year. And I thought, oh Christ, that's gone. And it was fine. It was like a couple of pairs of shorts and a couple of tops. But one of the tops was like an old Expedition Everest top. I say old, I mean, it was like 10 years old. You couldn't get it now. It was a really nice top that Kerry liked. But same thing. I just emailed the Poly and they posted everything out to us. We had it within about a week. It was really good. Free, didn't try and charges, nothing like that. Just said, yeah, fine, send your address and here it is and here's your tracking number. And a couple of days later, it arrived, you know. It's really good. So, I mean, you can have some good experiences, and that was the point, really. We met some great cast members. It would just be, and okay, you're always going to get the odd person that is having a bit of a bad day, or they're not quite as into the, hi, have a nice day. You're always going to get a bit of that, but I think Universal have just still got a little bit of work to do to make it more
Fast
consistent.
And the Furious. Fact, did you do it this year?
No, definitely not.
We're walking on. There's 10 of us, you know, so we're a family, and the whole thing with Fast and Furious is family, and they all drink Corona. Yeah. And it was like, all right, girl, are you in the family? And she just couldn't be less interested. And I was like, where do I get a bottle of Corona? Can I get a bottle of Corona? I'm in the family. And she didn't know what I was talking about.
No, yeah.
And she just looked me up and down. And I think it might even be on the podcast, the live podcast that I put out. It might be on there. You know, I'm paraphrasing. I probably got it all wrong what I said, but she just couldn't be asked.
No. Hey, like I say, you're always going to get the odd person that's just the end of the shift or the end of the week or whatever, or they got a headache or whatever, a barney with a significant other. But you know, I think Universal still got just a little bit more work to do there. You know, just to keep it consistent, but. It was great. I mean, we had a good time. Just wish we'd had a couple of extra days. Enjoyed the parks, enjoyed City Walk, enjoyed the hotel. Looking forward to seeing, you know, the new park in 20. Well, we won't probably go in 2025, but whenever we go, looking forward to see Epic Universe. Should be great.
It's going to eat into Disney big style. You know, we give Disney 2 weeks this time. And And like you fall into your routine of we did do new things at Disney. I'm not saying we didn't. And not having the dining plan forced us to do new things. We went to the new hotel and everything, Aventura, and not Aventura, what am I talking about?
Riviera.
Riviera, yeah.
Riviera. Yeah. Yeah,
You
we went
know,
there.
and had a drink up there, Topolino, or is it
Yeah.
Topolino? Yeah.
Topolino, yeah, at the top, yeah.
Yeah. You know, what a place. Absolutely stunning resort. You know, if I had the money, I would quite happily buy DVC with the restrictions at that place because it was beautiful.
Yeah.
You just get into your routine where, and we do the things that we like to do, although there's a
Yeah.
million other things out there to do. So it's
Yeah.
getting harder and harder to justify 14 days at Disney.
Yeah.
And, Universal, we 2019, we did 5 days at Universal in the Hard Rock, and we did Volcano Bay. This time we did 4 days at Universal without Volcano Bay, but we struggled to fit everything in at Universal. Felt
Yeah.
it was a lot more hectic
Yeah.
than what it was in 2019. But
Yeah.
when that third gate opens, you're going to be having to give Universal 7 days,
Yeah. Yeah,
or
that's
maybe
right.
even 8 days.
Yeah. Yeah,
And
it's gonna change things, isn't it? It's gonna make people think about, do they, 'cause you could say, well, do people start selecting parks rather than Disney or Universal? But then you need two tickets then. So you need a Disney ticket and a Universal ticket, and that gets really expensive. So it's probably cheaper to have one.
Or do people start not even selecting parks, but just selecting holidays? Like, we're only doing Universal this holiday. We're only doing Disney this holiday. I think that will come as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But yeah, I think we enjoyed the parks. I do feel that Universal, obviously, they're putting all their money into Epic Universe, which is understandable, but by the time they finished Epic Universe, I think they do need to come back and spend a bit of money on the other two parks. There's a, especially Islands of Adventure. I mean, Hagrid's is great, VelociCoaster's great, but it starts getting a bit thin quite quickly, really, then,
Definitely.
Hulk is a bone shaker now.
Yeah.
We didn't go on Hulk this time. It's the first time we've not gone on Hulk,
There you
just
go.
because we didn't want to get blooming headaches and stuff.
Yeah.
Spider-Man's still good, obviously. Kong's pretty good. Forbidden Journey's pretty good, but I think by the time you get, 2025 for Epic Universe, and then by the time they build something for one of the other parks, you're probably looking at 2026, 2027, before anything
Simpsons.
opens.
Simpsons is tired.
Simpsons,
Men in Black.
Men in Black is definitely looking tired. Yeah, so be interesting to see how much money they spend on those two parks, but I think they're going to have to, because, like you say, if they want to keep people in the Universal bubble, like Disney used to keep people in the Disney bubble, then they've got to give them enough stuff to do. It can't just all be Epic Universe, because you're not going to spend 2 weeks just in Epic Universe. But hey, we'll see.
Give it a good go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
So
shall we
yeah,
wind
good
it up?
time.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
We've got another episode coming out later in the month, haven't we? Another ETI. I've got no idea what we did because it was like 6 weeks ago, something like that.
The last one. What was the last one? Or wasn't it? Did we do cowfish? Was that the last one?
Is it cowfish? Might be cowfish.
Not sure.
Yeah.
A lot of brain cells have died since
Yeah.
then.
Well, not half, yeah. I think cowfish is out. Yeah, where else did we do?
So what's our next eat it?
I don't know, it's all queued up. It's all being
Right.
recorded. Sinead sent hers in, didn't she? Because she ate there. Or was it Enter Hito's?
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah. I
Yeah,
think
it
it
might have
was.
been.
Yeah, well, have a look anyway. It'll be out in another couple of weeks on there. in November, guys. And we're working. Sinead's come up with a banging idea for December for some good episodes. Come and join. If you listen to this now, right, and you're on the fence about joining Patreon, it's $2 a month. You're getting the first 7 days free, right, to go and have a see if you like us. Then for December, whatever our monthly income is, we're going to donate that to charity, right? So if you're on the fence now and you want to do something a little bit nice and get something back in return, sign up. We'll get $2, but we won't. The charity will get you. The Patreons are going to pick the charity in December. We're going to donate our monthly takings for December to charity that the Patreons pick. And also, we're going to match it. So if it's $50, if it's $100, it'll get doubled. Nice. So it's in the show notes. You know, it's just a nice way of spreading and, you know, doing something nice for Christmas. And it's dead easy for you to sign up, and there's hundreds of hours of content there for $2. Yeah. It's cheaper than Netflix. We're cheaper than Netflix.
Yeah, definitely. No ads.
Ad free. That's
another big benefit. Ad free. Yeah. Don't even charge you extra for being ad free.
And there's no Mandalorians anyway. No,
unfortunately. All right.
Yeah. I can never.
So there we are.
How to stop these bloody things.
See you next month, Patreons.
Yeah, see you for Christmas. On
Patreons. Yeah. Hasta la vista.
Hasta la vista, babies. See you later.
See you later.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.
Bom dia, bom dia.